Right, as we are getting into our third installment of this study of the Holy Spirit according to the Word, I want to have just one more time of going through some preliminary notes and some things that we need to consider. And then, Lord willing, next time we'll start diving into the actual text. And, again, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that's a concept that there's no shortage of writing and thought about the Holy Spirit. And I think probably because of that, right, there's also no shortage of confusion and mystery.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you had talked about it one time that you've got an entire shelf or a couple shelves of books, and they're all different. And I've noticed the same thing. I've got several books, maybe not a couple shelves worth on the Holy Spirit, but several books on the Holy Spirit, and they all seem to have a different spin in some way, shape, or form also. And it just really makes me, well, what is right?
Yeah, and what's really interesting too is if you look at the religious world as a whole, there is nothing else like the Holy Spirit. He is truly unique to Christianity. You don't find anything even close to that concept within Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, any of those other isms that are out there. There's nothing even close to the idea of the Holy Spirit that you find within scriptures. Of course, within, quote unquote, Christendom, and I'm using that word in the loosest possible form. Now, there's a wide variety of ideas and doctrines surrounding the Holy Spirit. So, how are we going to sift through all that and know what's true? Ultimately, we would not know if the Holy Spirit even existed. We wouldn't know anything about who he is or what he does or how he does it unless he revealed it to us. If we just use pure reasoning and logic, there's no way that you can just sit in a room and think about it and come to the conclusion that, oh, the Holy Spirit exists, much less come to an understanding of who he is and how and why he works. Philosophy, in the same way, or any principle or ideas that can help, have nothing to help us know or understand the Holy Spirit. Science can't reveal anything about the Holy Spirit. You can't observe him directly or indirectly with the five senses. He can't be measured, weighed, you can't scan him, you can't put him in a test tube. So the only way that we can know anything about the Holy Spirit is through divine revelation. Am I right?
Yes, and going back to one of the verses we looked at in a previous installment, I believe we looked at 2 Peter 1:3 that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, if there's something about the Holy Spirit that we're meant to know, well then God has already revealed that to us through His Word.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that's kind of fun as we think about this is Deuteronomy 29:29. That's that old scripture that's drug out by a preacher when you ask him a question, he don't know the answer. That the things that are revealed belong to you and to your children, but the secret things belong to God.
And now that's not an excuse to not study on a particular issue, but it is a statement or a verse that tells us that there's some things that we're just not meant to know.
And the Bible wasn't written to satisfy all of our curiosities. It was written to tell us what we need to know. And with that, right, since we can't know anything about the Holy Spirit except that he reveals it to us in the scriptures, then we need to be careful that as we discuss the Holy Spirit, as we study about him, that we don't go outside the scriptures or beyond the scriptures for anything. So often I'll hear somebody talk about the Holy Spirit and they'll say a lot about the Holy Spirit and provide zero scripture to back up what they've said.
And really, whenever we hear, preacher A or preacher B teach a lesson on the Holy Spirit, we've got to take a step back with any other topic also and keep in mind the words in 1 Thessalonians 5, where we read, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil.
And so only that which we can prove from Scripture is good. If you can't prove it from Scripture, it's not good, then it must be evil, and we need to abstain from
And really, 1 John 4:1 comes into play here too.
it. Yeah, try the spirits, whether they are of God. I mean, maybe that spirit's not the Holy Spirit at all. Maybe it's some other kind of spirit.
You know? And you know, that verse does say at the end, for many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, one thing that we need to keep in mind too, and you know, I'm talking to myself just as much as to you all that are listening with us, is that the Holy Spirit is a topic that tends to bring out very strong emotions. And a lot of times the emotional responses, when people start talking about the Spirit, can even be stronger than emotional response to Jesus himself, which is interesting. You know, and a lot of us, you know, we have ideas about the Spirit that mean a lot to us. We find them to be very comforting, and they provide a very strong emotional anchor. But we need to be careful not to allow emotions to cloud the correct understanding about what the Spirit says about himself in the Bible.
You know, we may have had a loved one that was a preacher, and they taught one thing on the Holy Spirit. And for us now, as we get into Scripture and see what Scripture says, you know, we don't want what that loved preacher of ours had to say to cloud anything in Scripture. They could have been right. But what if they weren't? We want to make sure that we're following where the Bible leads, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's been one of the big challenges for me. You know, I've got those two shelves full of books, you know, that Richard mentioned about the Holy Spirit, and you know how preachers are with their books. And one of the first things I wanted to do in approaching this was to drag out all these books and read what all the people say and figure out who is right. But I had to stop myself and say, no, I don't want to do that. We need to be very careful not to speculate or go beyond what the Spirit has revealed about himself in God's Word. But on the other hand also, we need to be careful not to limit the third person of the Godhead. You know, because just like the Father, just like the Son, he is God. He is all-powerful. We teach our children to sing, you know, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That applies to the Spirit too, doesn't it? Absolutely. And, you know, at the same time, you know, we need to limit ourselves. We need to be careful not to ascribe to the Holy Spirit or to blame on the Holy Spirit what the Scriptures don't. There can be a tendency to find the Holy Spirit and his work in places the Scriptures don't find it. And as with any topic, we need to follow the biblical rule of accepting only those doctrines that can be proved from Scripture. Just like Richard mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so that's what we need to do, is to be ready to prove all things. So what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? I mean, as much as people talk about it, you'd think that there'd be a lot of Scriptures about the Spirit.
Yeah, and of course, one of the first verses that I think about when I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit is, you know, what Jesus told his apostles while he was yet on earth. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 16, and, you know, really beginning in verse 12 and following, you know, where he said that I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And so the whole idea there being is that at the appropriate time, the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit's going to guide all of us into all truth. It's the apostles, because they didn't have the Bible yet in the form that we have it today, but we got to get to that point. Once we got to that point, there wasn't the need for that anymore, was there?
Right, yeah. And, you know, if you follow that down, right, verse 13, you know, Jesus says, you know, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. But now notice this. He says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will show it to you. So Jesus told the apostles, the Holy Spirit's not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to be talking about Jesus. He's going to glorify Jesus. And
you know, so that's really something that we ought to keep in mind, isn't it? When we look at all these verses that, you know, seem to be referring to the Holy Spirit, well, are all these verses referring to the Holy Spirit, or are they more so talking to the type of mindset that we ought to have as Christians?
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, that's one of the things that really surprised me as I began this study is that there's not really that many scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit. I mean, not really. When you start listing them and you stack them up and you compare them to the volume of the Bible, it's pretty scant. But that's what Jesus said it would be. He said the Holy Spirit's not going to talk about himself.
And so we want to be sure, I guess, that when we approach the subject that we don't read anything into the text that's not there.
Yeah, and so, you know, a lot of times if we open our Bibles, you know, if we have a bias to find the Holy Spirit under every rock, and then, you know, we come up with a list of every scripture that deserves examination. And that was kind of my goal as we go through this. And let me just kind of stop right here and give a bit of a disclaimer. And we'll probably repeat this as we go. You know, me and Richard, neither one, are claiming to be the know-it-all guys, the end-all, be-all authorities on the Holy Spirit, that now we know more than anybody else does. That's not where we're coming from at all.
No.
And, you know, I mean, kind of where I'm coming from is, you know, as I mentioned, I was kind of really forced into this study. This wasn't something I was seeking out, but, you know, it was thrust upon me, and so here it is, and I've benefited from it. And I feel like it's of value to share this with more people. And, you know, if you see something that's wrong, if my reasoning's not quite right, you know, I would hope that, you know, Matthew 7:12, the golden rule would still apply, that you would treat me as you would want me to treat you, and come to me in a spirit of love, and let's get together. Let's try to fulfill Jesus' prayer, that we have that unity and that love, one for another.
You know, and along with that, I'll say that as Justin went through these lessons, it really challenged me in my thinking about the Holy Spirit. So we need to allow ourselves to be challenged, but along those same lines is to take everything that we talk about and make sure that it really can be backed up with book, chapter, verse. And again, as Justin said, and I'll echo it too, if we're wrong, tell us, please, because we want to be right.
But in a nice and loving way. I mean, if you come at me with a battle axe, I'm probably just going to delete your email. I don't have time for that. So, anyway. So, back to this exhaustive list of every scripture that might possibly, even kind of, sort of, maybe, talk about the Holy Spirit. As I went through the Bible, and I did that, and I was looking for the Holy Spirit under every rock, I came up with roughly 88 passages in the New Testament, not verses, passages, and about 264 in the New Testament. And so as we go through these, I think what we'll find is that, you know, not all of these are actually speaking about the third person of the Godhead, but they deserve an honest examination, see what can be learned. So that gives us a total of 352 passages of Scripture to look at out of the entire Bible. And so we find roughly 18 different names that might be applied to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and as many as 39 possible names in the New Testament. And out of those 57 different names that might apply to the Holy Spirit, there are only 5 that are common to both Testaments. And I think that's interesting. And each one of these, if it does indeed speak of the Holy Spirit, teaches us something different about who he is and what his role is in the scheme of redemption, in creation, in our lives, and maybe even in eternity, in his relation to the Godhead. And so those names are something to pay attention to if they do indeed apply to the Holy Spirit. And those are decisions that everybody has to make as we go through this. You know, some of these names include Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Truth, Comfort. And so some tell us about his relationship to God, some tell us about his relationship to man. And so we want to be sure as we approach this study that we approach it with care. prepare. And I want to take a look at a couple of passages where Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. And, you know, the context here, you know, Jesus has been casting out demons. And, you know, the Pharisees say, oh, well, he has the power of the devil. And it's by the spirit of the devil that he's casting out demons. But we know that it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was casting out demons. And so Jesus, in rebuffing the Pharisees, he says, wherefore I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, there's another parallel passage in Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And I'm going to kind of withhold comment until we've looked at both of these. But Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And here again, Jesus has been warning his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And, you know, he tells them that the hairs of your head are numbered, and whoever confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God, and he that denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And, he says, verse 10, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now, how many times have you or somebody that you know read those verse and been scared stiff and thought, oh man, you know, have I committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? You know, am I beyond forgiveness because I've committed that thing? I know I've wondered that myself, and I've talked to a lot of other people who are like, well, there's no point because I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. What about you, Richard?
Well, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as we look at, and of course, really, that's another topic that I've heard several different ideas or concepts about, and
right, yeah.
Muddies the water even more.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't really want to get into all of that right now, but just suffice it to say, there is no unforgivable sin, right? We can't understand two scriptures to contradict one another. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is very clear that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. And all means all. And so there's no sin that's not that can't be forgiven. However, whatever else we can gather from these scriptures, and we'll get to them later in the study, but they ought to cause us to give pause. You know, the Holy Spirit is not a topic of study that should be taken up lightly. We need to take very great care that we don't find ourselves in the same boat as Job's friends. You know, look at, you know, at the end of the book of Job, you know, God had some pretty strong words of rebuke for his friends. Look at Job chapter 42 and verse 7.
And as we're turning there, you know, we might say the only sin that is left unforgiven is that which is not repented of.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, we're just kind of sticking that out there for now and asking you to trust us that we'll come back and deal with those scriptures later. But here, nevertheless, they teach us that we need to be careful when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's something that you don't approach flippantly. So Job chapter 42 and verse 7. And, you know, it says, it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for y'all have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. How does the New King James read there? Is that pretty close?
In verse 7, yeah. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has.
Yeah, and so we don't want to end up in the same boat as Job's three friends. We don't want to speak concerning God or the Holy Spirit something that is not right. And so we need to approach this topic with great reverence and great care. And I think also great patience and love.
You know, it's really kind of a sobering thought to think as we teach, you know, And we'll give an answer to that. But imagine standing before God on Judgment Day, you know, having to give an answer for holding on to a particular doctrine and not being willing to yield on it. You know, Job's friends constantly saying, hey, you're suffering because you sinned. You're suffering because you sinned. You need to repent, you know, over and over again. But then hearing now that, oh, wait, we didn't speak what was right concerning Job. Or we didn't speak what was right concerning it.
Yeah. Concerning God, concerning
yes,
the Spirit.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, of course, you know, when you speak what's right concerning Job, too. The Bible tells us about Job, but we're talking about the Spirit. Yeah, you know, and, you know, so that also means that we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be able to identify our own preconceived notions and ideas. That I need to come to grips with what I think I know and what I think I feel is right about the Spirit, and be able to set those things aside and learn only what the Spirit has said about himself in Scripture, which again, as Jesus said, that's not going to be much. You know, we really need to have the attitude that, you know, Eli taught young Samuel to have. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9, as God was coming to Samuel in the night and that voice calling him, and Eli taught Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And that needs to be really any time we approach the study of Scripture. Certainly when we want to learn more about God, we need to be willing to set aside all of our smarts and everything we think we know and just listen to what God has to say about himself.
You know, whenever we make up our decision on a topic, that's really a dangerous place to be. You know, we always ought to be willing to learn and grow and follow the Scriptures where they lead on any topic, because, you know, we want to be right, don't we? We don't want to speak what's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, one last preliminary, and then next episode we will get into the study. I want to be sure that we approach this study with a plan. And as I've been going through this and think about how to do it, and how to present this in a meaningful way and in a logical way. And you know, I wrestled with understanding this myself. So we're going to begin by examining all the Scriptures that I found in the Old Testament that have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And I found that it's important to look at the Old Testament first, and there's not that many of them, but they're there, because as the revelation of the New Testament began, right, those passages would have provided a background for our first century brethren, especially those like the Apostle Paul, who, you know, studied under the feet of some of the great rabbis and knew the Old Testament Scriptures, they would have understood what was now being revealed, filtered through that lens. And so as much as possible, then, we want to understand these things in the same way that the original readers would have understood them. And so that makes, you know, that background really important as we move into the New Testament. And that's one thing for us to keep in mind, too. You know, so often when we read the Bible, we try to read it through our 21st century American eyes. And I hate to break it to you, but, you know, the seven churches of Asia didn't live in the 21st century, and they didn't live in America.
So really, you know, who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? And then we can really look at how that message applies to us today.
Yeah. I mean, how would they have understood that with their knowledge and their background? And so that's one thing. So the second decision that I've made, and I want to lay this out there so that you know and you can be aware of it, and this is going to have a bigger impact on our study. You know, while we're examining each of these passages about the Spirit, we want to have the goal of coming away with a unified understanding, to be able to understand all these passages in such a way that they don't contradict one another. Because if we have a contradiction, then something's not quite right. And so that's kind of what I wanted for myself. That's what I want for everybody, for us to come to the knowledge of the truth concerning the Spirit. And so,
You know, as Paul pled with the church in Corinth, we want to be of the same mind.
Absolutely. And so, as such, you know, it seemed best to me then to arrange this study in a topical fashion. So we're not just going to go through every verse in Matthew and every verse in Mark, you know, and so on that deal with the Holy Spirit. So to kind of give some sort of order and logic to the flow of this study, we're going to deal with this topically. And by necessity, for me to arrange that, that meant that I've had to spend some time wrestling with these scriptures and decide, you know, what's kind of the main topic as it relates to the Holy Spirit that this particular passage has, and how would that best fit? And so as we deal with those topics, the fact that I've stuck, you know, this particular verse under this topic is going to betray the conclusions that I've reached, and that's going to give a definite bias to you as you listen and study along with this towards either convincing you of those same conclusions, or, you know, you might kind of hump up your back and bristle against them as you move through this material. But in either case, you need to be aware of that. And I really don't know of any good way to guard against that other than saying, there it is. It is what it is. So I think that's all of the preliminary considerations. It only took 3 episodes.
Got to lay that groundwork.
Yeah, that's so important. And I'm excited to actually, you know, start diving into text and getting to the study. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you as it has been to us. So until next time.